If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Boom. Good morning, everybody. It's your host, Bill Carnes, live right here. It's Friday morning. Happens to be 22nd of January, 2010. I've been at this SHOT Show, shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show for three solid days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I wasn't even sure I was going to go yesterday. And then in the morning, some of the people who had kind of browned out or not really confirmed interviews with me got a hold of me. Okay, yeah, we want to do an interview. So I shot in there yesterday and had some success. Got a little bit ticked about a couple other things. While I was there, I was scheduled to call in on the flagship show. The flagship show on the mothership of RBN, of John Stadtmiller's show. Obviously the guy who is the president, owner, the creator of Republic Broadcasting Network, to help out with the pledge drive, as a lot of the hosts did. However, I was in the bottom floor of the convention center, concrete and steel, no cell signal. I wasn't able to call. So just in case you have not listened to John Stadtmiller's show, maybe it's your time, I don't know, you're not able to drive time or something. John Stadtmiller is the man of RBN. He's the guy who created the whole thing. He comes on right after Dave Champion. Dave Champion's on at 3 o'clock Central, and John comes on from 4 to 6 Central. And we're doing a pledge drive to keep the network going strong and do some new, great, lively things. You can read more about it on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. I know it's long, takes a bunch of keystrokes, but republicbroadcasting.org. Check it out. Go there. It helps out with the pledge drive. Also, listen to John's show later today, again, 4 to 6 Central. Now, some of the frustrations that I have gone through at SHOT Show are going to come out, namely at the NRA. And I'm not going to mince any words at all when it comes to my feelings about all of that. Yesterday's show, came in here, programmed up the show, got everything going. The first couple segments were going fine. So since everything was pre-recorded interviews, I left the studio. And as it turns out, segment four, several minutes in, the folks back at the network did the very proper thing, the professional thing, and they put on something else you could hear. They put on a rebroadcast of some good stuff. So, and that happened to be with the interview of the executive director and lead counsel of the National Sports Shooting Foundation, who is the organization that brings the SHOT Show together. They are by far the largest organization for the trade. So I'm going to replay that interview, segment four. I've got an interview. I'm going to play a bit of an interview in the next segment. Segments 3, 4, and 5 are going to be interviews that I've done. And then we'll be done with all the interviews. I have had a lot of emails. There's been a lot of news that have come out this week. There's probably going to be even more coming out this weekend. So next week is going to be packed full, just chock full of all those kinds of things that we normally do here. But there's some good stuff that we learned at the SHOT Show, some good products that are out there, some good information about the industry. So I want to pass that along to you guys. Just so you understand, that's what's coming up for the rest of today. Please, if you want to call in, you have a little bit of time in the next segment. Otherwise, we're going to have to put that off till next week. But a little bit of time, early part of next segment, coming up in about 3.5 minutes here. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. If you'd like to chime in on anything, call during the break, get everything up, and we can arrange it. Otherwise, we're just going to roll on through. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break, folks. Okay. At the SHOT Show, Shooting Hunting Outdoor Trade Show 2010 in Vegas at the Sands Expo Center, somewhere around 700,000 square feet and over 10,000 vendors, or something like, I don't remember what the heck, 6,000 vendors. It was huge. Just a massive, massive show. One of the bigger trade shows to come to Las Vegas, which is the convention capital of the world. So I wanted to get good interviews with good companies, and I wanted to get a couple of biggies, one of which was the NRA, another of which was the ATF, another of which was the National Sports Shooting Foundation. I got that one. I did not get either of the other two. Let me tell you a little bit about it. The very first day on Tuesday, I go to the NRA early. I think it was before lunch. Introduce myself, drop off a business card, say, look, I'm Bill Carnes, 2A Radio, I'd like to get some interviews. Just one interview, one person, that's all I want. And I was directed to a lady who was some sort of spokesperson. She said, oh, I'm running out of here. You know what? You need to speak to a fellow by the name of Lars. I'll give him your card, and this is what he looks like, and you can find him, and this is what he's wearing today. So walk around the booth and find him. The booth wasn't that big. Okay. So I can't find anybody by the name of Lars. I also leave a card at the little reception desk for the PR people and said, please have Lars call me. Nothing. I went back. Two more times that day, nothing. Nobody there even knew who the hell Lars was. The next day, I go back, and I go back again. And finally, I tell the lady at the little desk, look, this is what's been going on for the last couple of days. I have a nationally syndicated radio show, pro-Second Amendment deal, pro-guns, pro-rights, everything. I would like to have somebody from the largest representative body of gun owners in America get on the air with me and do an interview. If not, I'm going to say something about it on my show that I did not get an interview, and my version of probably why. So, she says, okay. Finally, yesterday, now it's day three, I get a call from Lars. And, oh, yeah, I'd like to do an interview. Then on my way to the convention center, I live from my house to walking in to the SHOT Show, about an hour and a half with driving, parking, getting through the casino and everything. He's texting me on the way. Hey, what did you want to talk about? I forgot to ask, blah, blah, blah. Then he tells me he's going to pawn me off on somebody else. He says, go see some guy named Brent Gardner. Okay, great. So I get down there. I go to the NRA booth. There's no Brent Gardner. I can't even find anybody who knows Brent until I finally find one person. Oh, you know what? I don't know where he is. I don't see him. He was here just a little while ago. Okay, so I go and I score an interview with Trigicon, which you're going to hear in a little bit. Go back up, there's Brent Gardner, talk with him. What does he do? He hands me a little tiny leaflet, smaller than a business card that folds out to four pieces, and says, you know what, here's the name of a lady back at NRA ILA in Virginia. She's the person you want to contact. And I looked at the guy and I said, seriously? I've been here for 3 days trying to score an interview with somebody with NRA. And you're telling me to call the NRA ILA, something I could do any time, what I would like to record here on the floor at the SHOT Show. Does anybody here have any idea? Does the right hand know what the left hand is doing? Because I got to tell you, I'm not going to make the phone call. I'm not going to get that person on the in lieu of getting an interview here. But I'm going to tell the audience about it. Oh, you know, you wanted to talk about bills and politics and things that are going on that you know, could affect the Second Amendment and gun laws that are going on. That's really the source. Yeah, and it took 3 days for somebody to tell me that. So, huge, fat, sucker punch in the face disappointment out of the NRA. And quite honestly, not surprising. Not surprising at all. The ATF wanted to talk with them about all of the BS going on at the gun show in Austin, Texas, when was it? This last weekend, I believe. And it's interesting. I did speak with a guy who is an FFL dealer at the Austin, Texas gun show. That's where, because of Austin police and the ATF going to the owner of the venue saying, look, we are prepared to file some sort of garbage BS misdemeanor charge on anybody who is a private owner doing a private party transfer at the gun show, which is completely legal. We're going to consider having some sort of garbage-ass charge on that person, on everybody involved, including you. We want you to make a stipulation, no private party transfers. Everything's got to go through an FFL dealer, which is coercion, racketeering and violation of RICO statutes by Austin PD and the ATF. We'll have more in detail next week. What we ended up with was the ATF obviously not having any interest, and now of course they have a little booth at SHOT Show, not having any interest in wanting to talk about that at all. None at all. Okay, well, we're talking about you guys as a federal agency, ATF, going having coercion and conspiracy, racketeering, RICO statute violations, and you guys don't want to go on the air about this? Huh, wow, that's interesting. Maybe you shouldn't do things like that, and then you wouldn't have people like me in your face. So, of course, nobody's going to talk to me there. What I have now, however, Trigicon. Trigicon has been in the news recently. They make the ACOG sites and such. You've probably seen, probably heard, and probably applauded that they have within their different models of the guns, they might end with something like JN812, which stands for Book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, on many of their products. I wanted to talk with them about that. Only the president of the company, he's laid down and said, look, I'm happy to talk about it, but I'm the only one to talk about it. He was not available to show. So we did talk about some of the products that they have coming up, so I'm going to play that for you now going through this break. And then we're going to end up with a few more interviews coming up through the rest of the show. So stay tuned. Some more good stuff coming at you right now from SHOT Show 2010, guys.
All right, folks, welcome back. Bill Carnes with 2A Radar right here. I'm with John Houghton of Trigicon. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bud Beard.
All right, we're here at SHOT Show 2010, and I got to tell you, of all of the booths at this entire place, and we're talking about 700,000 square feet, you have more people per square foot than any other booth I have seen, and it's been like this for the last 3 days.
It's been great, too. We have probably the worst location in the entire show, but our booth is packed more than anyone, so it's a good time.
Yeah, you're downstairs, you're in the corner, but I got to tell you, the neat thing is there's elbow room for people to get in. I come walking around the corner, and I'm ducking below all these different muscles that I see because everybody's looking at all the cool gear you've got.
Thank you. Yeah, it's we've got a lot of new products, so it's exciting. The name Trigicon it's just been marketed pretty heavily over the last 3 years commercially, and it's really taken off.
I got to tell you, when you guys first came out with the ACOG, what year was that?
Oh, gosh, it's been over 20 years now.
Over 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, when I first became familiar with the ACOG, it was when it started to get a little notoriety because of use with military service now in the Middle East. I ended up getting the same version as the Marine Corps version for my AR-15, looking to get another one for my Microtech. But tell us a little bit about some of those sort of scopes for for the black guns, and then also what you've got for some of the sporting rifles that are out there for people that want to go hunting or prairie dogging or what have you.
Sure. All the way from tactical situations to even free gun applications, the ACOG, which we sell to the military, are very popular, but that's taken over. We've taken the technology of those products and taken them over into variable power scopes, which are excellent for even free gun, hunting applications, low-light shooting.
So. That's one of the things that I love is there's no batteries involved in these things.
That's correct. Yeah, it uses fiber optic to illuminate the reticle anytime there's available ambient light. There's also a tritium lamp that continuously illuminates regardless of the ambient light condition.
That's great. Now, on top of scopes, what other products does Trigicon have?
We also have sights. The first product we actually introduced was night sights for pistols, glow-in-the-dark night sights. They're tritium powered. And we also have non-magnified sights as well. We also, just at the show this year, introduced rings and bases for a number of applications.
Fantastic. I had no idea you guys were hitting it. Are you manufacturing those rings and bases yourself, or is that your design?
They're actually being badged for us to our specification.
That's great. Now, what kind of guns are you having these bases made for?
We've got a great quick-release mount now that's available for rifle scopes to be put on AR-15s. And then we also have rings and bases more for the conventional hunting-type rifle.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the test. You might not know my background, five weapons range master, former lead range master out of Front Sight. I know about guns and gear, and the only true return to zero, take it off, put it back on base that I've ever seen for an AR-15 comes out of Texas, and it comes from LaRue. How do you guys compare?
Actually, we sell a lot of our product with LaRue mounts. It's an excellent company. This is a single lever, throw lever design. Same principle, though. It's they both hold drill very well.
So then you're obviously quite familiar with their stuff, so something tells me you've probably got a pretty good product on your hands.
I own quite a few LaRue mounts myself, so yeah, it's they're both very good ones.
That sounds great. Anything new that you guys are working on this year you'll have out next year at SHOT Show 2011?
I think you can look to see an expanded AccuPoint line as well as additional reticles available for all of our products.
That's great, John. I appreciate it. If somebody wants to check out Frigicon products, where do they go?
It's booth 205 in the corner down in the basement.
Okay. And how about for the listeners out there that aren't here in Vegas yet, do you have a website that they can see all your latest products?
Yeah, it's www.frigicon.com. So it's T-R-I-J-I-C-O-N.com.
John, thanks a bunch. I appreciate your time here. Folks, stay tuned. We've got more interviews coming to you live here at the SHOT Show 2010. It's your host, Bill Collins, on 2A Radio.
All right, guys, that was the interview with Trigicon. We definitely have more interviews coming up. Stay tuned. I am your host, Bill Carnes. This is 2A Radio. We are on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're going to be back at you right after the break, guys. Stay tuned. Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. All right, guys. That is an interview with an organization called Babes with Bullets. Obviously, the quality of that's gone down. So, we're going to stick with it here, and we're going to tell you a little bit about it. Babes with Bullets was an organization put together, I think in 2005, with Kay Mikulik, wife of Jerry Mikulik. We're talking, you know, many time national and international shooting champions. And they put this thing together for Babes with Bullets, and they train women is what they do, and they go anywhere from, you know, just basic handgun 101. They'll go into shooting on the move. They will go into camps that you can have. You can go to this camp and learn all about, you know, this, how to get into competition shooting and such. And it's a pretty decent organization. They seem pretty neat. One of the things they do is it's all women teaching women. That's all it is. I don't want to call them a sexist organization. They are women. They focus on women shooting guns so women can feel more comfortable in the surroundings. I did that for the, I think, 7 female listeners we have to the show. And they have 3-day courses that are available. I think it's $650. That includes everything but travel and ammunition. Because what I'm told that they do is they put together a, like, kind of a neat lodge of sorts, and everybody hangs out for the 3 solid days. So at night, they chat around like it's some sort of a cool little camp out thing. I'm going to try and get the interview repaired. I've actually got it in another format, back at home. So anyhow, it's really neat. 3-day format, $650. That includes lodging and meals. It seems like a very good thing for women shooters. It really does seem very neat for them to be able to get into something like that. And just really nice ladies. The lady Deb that I was speaking with, who's actually the director of the organization, she says that the first time she ever shot was when she was 45 years old. So, of course, I had to ask her if her birthday gift was a 45. The answer was no, it was a 9mm. Maybe she should have got a 40 at 40. That would have worked out a little bit better. Anyhow, she got into a little bit of shooting competition, met Kay Mikulik, and they ended up starting this, Babes with Bullets. You can go to babeswithbullets.com, check it out. It seems very neat. They travel around the country. They do these things all over the place. They've been in, Idaho, Oregon, Texas, Louisiana, New York, Florida, just all over the place doing these 3-day clinics. They have different different classes that they put on, from kind of a 101 up to a getting you ready to shoot in competitions. I guess they have that as more of a two-day high-speed format for people that, for ladies, women shooters who are already very tuned up. They also are going to be getting into rifles, and they're not calling them the black guns, they're calling them the pink guns, and it's kind of funny because the lady Deb, who's the director of the organization, she has an AR-15 that has pink furniture on it. I'm sure you've all seen pictures. She happens to have one of those guns. So, anyhow, babeswithbullets.com, you can check them out. It's funny about the pink guns. Yesterday, I've been going to the show. I've been coming into the studio, getting the show done, prepped, ready, playing it, whatever. Going home, getting a couple things done, and then going off to the SHOT Show for the entire day. And my girlfriend, when she works, she travels. She works for a week or 10 days, comes home for a couple of weeks, and then so she's not always around. So she's home this week, and of course, I've been gone, and then she leaves next week. So she was miserable for Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, just being around the house and nothing going on. So yesterday, I asked her if she wanted to go with me. Went there, got her badge, got in, walking around, and there were some guys at a booth that I had not passed by yet that had rocket-propelled grenade launchers, RPGs. The first company that has them American-made, and they are not cast, they're actually milled. So it's actually a very high-end rocket launcher, and they had three or four in different colors. You know, they had black, gray, tan. They had one in, like, kind of a police PD blue. Well, the guy went in the back, and he came back out with one that was a very light, pastel, pale pink rocket-propelled grenade launcher. So ended up putting that on my girlfriend's shoulder, showing her how to hold the thing, and then taking a picture of it. So, you know, those things are not light. They're probably a good 18, 20 pounds sitting up on the shoulder, and she knows nothing about guns, has no interest in knowing anything about guns. But anyhow, just kind of a funny thing. Had an opportunity to go to Lapua, who is the only company I'm aware of that sells a factory-loaded subsonic 308 bullet. And with that, they don't publish any load data on it. So I went to Lapua, and of course, I think they're a Finnish company. They're from Europe. So one thing that I wanted to do was find out from them what the load data was, because they don't publish it. So I grabbed a brand new load data book that they printed just up for the SHOT Show, and sure enough, they didn't have it in there. So I asked a lady that worked there about it, you know, you guys sell the bullets, you sell the components, I have the components, I want to load these. What is your load data? And of course she says, oh yeah, we don't publish that. And then so I asked a couple other guys that were there, and same thing. You know, and they're telling me, yeah, it's a, you know, specific for a 450mm length barrel and a 1-in-11 twist. Okay, 1-in-11 is standard. 450 is metric. Keep it all together. What the hell is a millimeter? My God, I think it's about an 18-inch barrel. Anyhow, more coming up, guys. Stay tuned through the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. We happen to have on the line Dave from New York calling in on line one. Dave, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm calling about a story that's all over the internet, and that's the Austin Gun Show and how it was shut down. Now, I'm from New York here, so I'm just listening to the promoters' interviews and what I'm reading and stuff like that. And from what I see, and maybe you could fill me in if this is incorrect, it comes out to who do you blame, the bully or the coward? I mean, this guy, he had a contract, all right? He has breach of contract, and claiming he was forced to do things. how do you force someone in America to do something? There's something called the 13th Amendment, which is there's no involuntary servitude. So how do you force a man to do something in America when you have the 13th Amendment, you have the Constitution, you have breach of contract, and the only answer I see is he doesn't have a spine. I mean, it's who do you blame, the bully or the coward? Well, without the coward, the bully wouldn't be able to do what he does. And, I mean, there's been other instances.
Now,
where
Dave,
wait, hold on, Dave.
Let's not go into the other instances yet. Let's talk about this and then hit the other instances. You're absolutely right, the bully or the coward. And here's the thing. When it comes to the 13th Amendment, that's wonderful until you've already got jackbooted thugs with badges who are already looking to subdue all kinds of other rights. They're not going to let the 13th Amendment get in their way either. So we've got the ATF coercing with the Austin Police Department. Now, who knows which one came first, the chicken or the egg?
Probably right there.
The jackass on both of them. And then going to push this guy, and then, of course, him folding. The whole thing stinks.
Well, he didn't have to go to that meeting. He had, I mean, look, I was a part of an anti-illegal immigration group, and we had meetings, and people tried to shut him down, and you have a contract. You rented the hall. And if the owner comes and tries to stop it under very limited circumstances, he can actually be, he's trespassing. If you're not violating the terms of your original agreement, and even the person who's renting you the hall, you have an agreement with these things. It comes down to breach of contract. So it's that simple. I mean, he's got everything going for him. He was not compelled to go to any meeting. He has a contract. If he shows up and it's shut down, he takes it from there.
You're absolutely
right. But the bottom
right.
line is, and then this guy, he wants to shut down shows. He sounds weak. It comes down to the coward is at fault, not the bully.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Last night, after the SHOT Show, I came back into town. And I sat down with Dave Champion, and we're having a beer, celebrating that I was done with the SHOT Show, and more importantly, he finished his book. And we were talking about this exact thing. And one of the things that we talked about was the promoter themselves, not the ATF, not the Austin PD, not the owner of the facility, but the promoter who had the contract with the owner to have the show there. Why couldn't they have very easily interviewed everyone that's coming? Are you by chance an on-duty law enforcement officer? Are you with Austin PD or ATF, anything like that? And anybody who said yes, or yes, I'm here in an official capacity, you are officially trespassed. You're not welcome here. You can leave. Here's your entrance feedback. Goodbye. That's something that the promoter could have done. The promoter could have said, we reserve the right, even though it's a public venue, you're still paying to come in, we reserve the right as an organization to tell anybody in here, we don't want you here. And if you're here in an official capacity, you happen to be a member of Austin PD or ATF, we don't want here. So turn around and leave.
Right, but that's at the show. The promoter didn't have to meet with anybody prior to the show. He's had a contract. I mean, like I said, we rented halls. We had the contract in advance. We didn't have to meet with anybody. We show up there. It's paid for. The hall is, you know, as long as you're not doing anything illegal, as long as you're abiding within the framework of the contract. And if that agreement was not part of the original contract, then it's they're violating the contract. It's breach of contract.
Right. I understand. And I don't know it was so much the promoter of the show. It was the owner of the facility that went to the meeting and agreed to have this contract changed. That's as I understand it. If that is the case, the promoter could have handled it simply by saying, by screening people at the door, as I just talked about. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. I believe that the guy that went to the meeting should have had the balls to stand up and either not have gone to the meeting or tell everybody, look, you're really reaching here, and I have got countless amount of backing within the industry where we will sue the living hell out of the entire group of you.
Well, I agree with you, sir. He should have not have gone, but if he did go, he had to stand up for the contract that he agreed to, and I agree with you that he lacked the B word that you used. I don't know if I could say that on the air. I'll say spine.
You can say intestinal fortitude if you like. Now, here's an interesting little story. There's a guy in the Midwest, and I don't want to give away too much stuff. He's a good guy. I just don't want to cause him any more grief. And he was building the frame for a 1911. The frame is what's considered a registered thing with ATF. That did not have any serial number on it, and he did everything but drill the last couple of holes. Because you as an individual, within the federal guidelines, can build the frame of a gun and build your own personal use gun. You can buy the materials and then build it up yourself if you have the expertise and the technique and the machining and the tooling and the knowledge to be able to do this. Well, this guy was selling almost complete, but not quite complete, incomplete 1911 frames. They had no serial number, no anything. He would make what he did, send it to you with the instructions on how to finish it, and then you could fit the rest of the thing up. You've got your own 1911 that's off the books. Because I don't know that registration and licensing and serial numbers were part of the Second Amendment. So anyhow, that's what this guy was doing.
See, I'm not even approaching this as a Second Amendment.
No. Hold on.
Gun issue. You could be having a basket weaving seminar, and if I have an agreement with somebody,
Dave,
they can't change that agreement. That's
a breach
of contract.
Dave, I understand. So, I'm just giving you another example of something that happened with ATF. Just hold on for the rest of the story. You'll see where I'm going here. ATF went to this guy, and they arrested him and locked him up for a couple of days, and they said, you can't do this. And he says, yes, I can. Here's what the law says. This is what it states. I'm doing nothing illegal. This is not my primary business. It's something that I do, and there's nothing against the law. The ATF told the guy, they said, look, you're absolutely right. You do have the law on your side, but we don't like it. We don't want more people doing it. So unless you can afford the $50,000 to $250,000 worth of time, effort, and attorney's fees, missed work, and everything else to fight this to try to prove yourself right, you're gonna stop, and you have to sign an agreement that you'll never do this again. So now that agreement doesn't even really hold water in the eyes of the courts. I'm just giving you an example of this type of things that anti-gun groups that have badges and work for the government will try to attempt to. Now, this guy, had he had the financial backing, he was completely willing to throw the bird up in their face and say, bring it on. The correlation that I'm getting to, I'm almost done. Then it's yours, Dave. The correlation I'm getting to is the promoter and the guy who owned the facility in this case in Austin. We're talking bigger business guys. Got to have a few more shackles in the pocket. They would have been the perfect people to stand up to this group and say, bite me. We're not going to put up with this. Now it's your turn, Dave.
Well, first of all, what you said, that he was threatened. When somebody says, if you don't do this, it's this. So once someone threatens you, now there's no constitutional empowerment to threaten a person in America.
That's
and there's
the
no
truth.
Constitutional empowerment for a person in authority to threaten you. So once someone threatens you, they're operating not as a thug, as a private thug. Okay, they're not operating in a position of empowerment anymore because there's no threats allowed. You cannot be in a position of empowerment and threaten somebody. So their authority, their position, now that's a rogue individual that you're dealing with. So let's understand that first of all. Now you're not dealing with someone in the executive branch of the federal government. Now you're dealing with a rogue.
What you are dealing with is, what do you do about it? Because his superiors are the kind of guys that are going to hold up. You're familiar with me trying to arrest a Las Vegas Metro cop, and I'm getting stonewalled because Las Vegas Metro investigates Las Vegas Metro. That would be the same thing with these guys doing the threats. It's just this dirty, filthy, disgusting system that you're absolutely right. But being able to get anything done about it, that's the difficult part of it.
Well, you have to document. You should always have your tape recorder going. That's why you never go to a meeting like that. Anything you want done in a subpoena environment, so it's not a he said, she said. Okay, and when
you're
this comes out,
absolutely right, absolutely
it,
right.
You know, you never talk. You don't have to talk to anybody in America unless you get a subpoena. And even if you get a subpoena, you can challenge that under certain circumstances.
Yes.
So the first thing is, you don't say nothing, and you have your tape recorder going. And stuff like that is exactly the kind of thing that could cost an individual their job. It could make them personally liable for a suit. And as far as the legal representation, there are pro bono groups, you know, who would take something up like this. You know, I mean, when you've been threatened by the federal government, and pro bono attorneys hear this and they see big bucks doing it pro bono, they know the federal government is good. You know what I mean? I mean, look at the guys who wrongfully sued for imprisonment and won over $100 million lawsuit in Boston a while ago.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
so
the thing is, you end up with the ACLU, who would normally say that they would take a case something like this, but it ends up being a pro gun sort of a deal. It's a lot more difficult to get them to swallow to take something like that on. Just as an example.
It is. Look, there may be. There was an instance here where an individual had that problem, and he looked for a long time to get an attorney, and he looked a long time, and finally he got one. You know what I mean? Finally he got one who would take the case. So it may not be an easy task, as you're pointing out, for various reasons, political and otherwise. But eventually, this individual was successful, and so... You know, it comes down to, every time you back down to the coward, you empower the bully.
Absolutely.
The bully is a creation of the coward. There's no district of criminals without the United Saps of America. And these things, of course, it's you know, when the bully is picking on you, you're in for a battle. That goes without saying. But the other alternative is to do what this guy is, kneel down. And then and how can you trust the person who kneels down?
Oh, you know, absolutely, I mean, it's not. Now, once you realize someone is willing to compromise on their principles, whether it be personal or business, which it all ends up being relatively personal anyhow, once you realize somebody's willing to compromise on something like that, you know exactly where to categorize that person, and you know where you can, and more so, you cannot trust them ever
right.
again.
I mean, you would not want to be associated with a guy like that. What if his master tells him to say something bad about you?
Okay, well, that brings up a whole other question. Who's anybody's master? You know who I listen to? I listen to me and nobody else. I have been employed with people and had some people very high up to me talk down to me like I was their dog. And I will not tolerate it and put it in their face and let them know, look, we are two human beings. I'm a professional. Now, because the job titles are a little different here, you think you can get away with speaking to me like that. And the answer to that is no, I will not be addressed or handled like this. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but it's not going to happen anymore. Because quite honestly, the way I am, I would tolerate that just so much before I'd beat the living hell out of them, because nobody's going to talk to me like that.
Right, and I mean, to answer your question, sir, who's your master? Whoever you allow to be your master is your master. That's up to you. This guy allowed them to be his master by going along with it. So, and only you can give somebody that power over you.
You know what, Dave? You're absolutely right. That it's almost poetic what you said. Whoever is your master is whoever you allow to be your master.
Yes, sir, and it's just that simple.
Absolutely. Dave, thanks very much for the call, man. I can tell you've got passion in your heart. You're trying to do the right thing. I really appreciate it, man. And thanks for listening.
And I thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. All right, guys, so we got that out. We're talking about, again, in Austin, Texas, where the Austin Police Department and the ATF got together and went after the guy who owns the facility that rented it out to a promoter for this gun show in Austin, Texas last week. Now, again, I just happened to bump into a federal firearms licensee who was at that gun show displaying. He was a vendor. All I'm going to tell you is, I'm going to call the guy Larry for actually using his real name. He said, look, I'd be happy to call in on the show sometime next week after I get home and talk about what I see. He says, because he was there. There was two different guys who did a private party transfer. And somebody with ATF and Austin PD came down on him. They took him outside. They held them. They interviewed him. They took their information. They said, look, expect to have some sort of a court date appearance mailed to you. Because what they're trying to do is use something, and Chris, if you're there and you remember, you can help me out here. There was some sort of little misdemeanor law they were going to try to tack onto him, something like, it wasn't disturbing the peace, it was, I forget what. Kerry, if Chris is in the studio, you can ask him, have him tell me on the air. I'm talking to the folks back in the studio, guys. Because they're right there just outside of Austin, just north of Austin, I think maybe 30, 40 miles in Round Rock, Texas. And Chris, who's one of the engineers at RBN, is very big involved in this, has had things like this happen before when he lived up north. Now that he's living in Texas, things like this, he's very comfortable with, he's very knowledgeable on it. But anyhow, it was something like disturbing the peace or whatever it was. Just this weak little misdemeanor. If you guys sell guns here on this property at this show, this is what we're going to charge you with. Disorderly conduct. That's what it was. Pardon me. And that didn't even take Chris getting on the air. Disorderly conduct is what the threat of the charge would be for selling your property. Now, you have a constitutional right to own property on top of keep and bear arms. And you can do with that property as you please. You can buy more of it. You can sell it off. You can give it away. You can do whatever you want with your own personal property. And the government can't do anything about it. You know, I own a car. I can keep the car. I can sell the car. I can take the car out into the desert if I own that piece of desert, set the damn thing on fire. That's my property. Same thing with a gun. Same thing with my shoes. Same thing with everything else. So their threat of charge was disorderly conduct for anybody that would go there and buy or sell a personal firearm. And what they said was they didn't want to have anybody there that was displaying guns and selling guns as a private party. Nobody selling their own stuff. And if anybody was there and they were going to make a deal while attending the show, just being another participant there, that they would, the owner was to have the promoter tell them, go to one of these federal firearms licensees, somebody who holds an FFL, to go to do the transfer through them so there's a record. Well, now that's a bunch of garbage. So that's really what went on. We're going to do our best to see if we can get kind of to the bottom of what was really going on each end of this. Then again, you really never know what's going to happen with this kind of a deal. Trying to get to the bottom of something like this, which is nothing but conspiracy, coercion, racketeering, RICO things, perpetrated by different branches of government agents through their agencies in an official capacity, becomes a very slippery slide, and they're just going to start hiding stuff because they have the ability to hide stuff. So, anyhow, that's the ugliness we're dealing with the BATFE, whatever they're called. Anyhow, guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, we're back. I am still getting stonewalled by Las Vegas Metro Police Internal Affairs. As a matter of fact, I was originally dealing with a detective cook, and then I ended up with speaking with an internal affairs sergeant by the name of Sergeant Lush, L-U-S-C-H, personnel number 5550 at Las Vegas Metro Internal Affairs. I'm still getting stonewalled to try and find out who was the cop driving the patrol car that I saw driving like a complete ass on December 9th. It is now January 22nd, and we still have no answer to that. And they say, oh, yeah, well, the guy that car is assigned to wasn't on that night. Okay. Let me tell you, there's a couple of different ways how to find out who was driving that car. The simplest way is each vehicle is signed out each night, so you find out who signed it out. In order to get the keys, you have to sign it out. So if somebody didn't sign it out and they just took the keys, okay. When you go off and you go do things, you must log on to the mobile computer terminal, the MCT. And you log on there. Everybody's got a unique log on. You find out who was logged on to that terminal. You go out to the car, you open the door, you look at the terminal number. You call down to dispatch and you say, pull the logs and find out who was driving this car at this time. If someone had called up, if I had called up and said, look, I saw this vehicle, the same vehicle at the same time, out in this area, and it looked like, the only thing I could explain is it looked like there was a body wrapped up in a tarp, and this cop was throwing it into his trunk and speeding away from the scene. Something tells me Las Vegas Metro would, with the same obstacles they claim they have with me, in my case, they would be able to find out who the hell was driving that car. But no, because a citizen wants to do a citizen's arrest on an on-duty police officer in way of writing a citation. By the way, the citation would be reckless driving, which is pretty serious around here. So many moving violations all within the same sort of instances constitutes reckless driving. It's exactly what it would be. Anyhow, because they don't want that to happen, they want a precedent set, they're not going to do anything about it. So I know of a couple of ways that I can find out about it that I'm going to attempt, and not the least of which is going to be also to bring a lot of attention to this by involving the local media. We have every local news station here in Las Vegas, loves to have their investigative team, their I team, their team of investigative reporters that go out and into the community, and they're going to do the hard charging stuff. So that seems to be exactly the way that I'm going to be forced to go in this deal. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, guys.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Guys, thanks for spending your day with me. It's been good. It's been a good week. I'll have a few more of these interviews next week. Stay tuned.
We'll be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.